Theology of the Cross and Luther at the Coburg. Mark.
Soft kitty, warm kitty, little ball of fur. Happy kitty, sleepy kitty, purr, purr, purr. Now, some of you might be scratching your head. Those of you who have watched The Big Bang Theory immediately recognize that song, don't you? Because one of the lead characters is Sheldon, and Sheldon, when he was young, his mom would sing him that song when he was sick or troubled. Soft kitty, warm kitty. And Sheldon, that main character, even as an adult, when he's sick or when he's troubled, he wanted that song sung to him. And so you see Sheldon in his bed with the covers pulled tight, and he would say, "Penny, sing soft kitty to me." I don't know when the last time is that you as an adult asked somebody to sing soft kitty to you at night so that you could sleep better. But I think we all understand the idea. I think we all understand the sentiment. We understand the desire to be in that place of safety and comfort, whether it's at night or during the day. We want to be in that place where everything feels good, where everything seems secure, where everything in life is nice and it's going nice. We desire that. We want that. And that thinking easily goes over into our spiritual mindset as well. As we think about our life and we think about God and we think about Jesus, we want God to help us in our lives so that our lives are secure and that we have contentment. We want Jesus to bless us in our life. We want Jesus to help lives be happy and nice. We want soft Jesus, warm Jesus, nice Jesus. The trouble is that as we look at our lives, we don't always get soft and nice and warm. We know that if we've lived any amount of time on this earth, that we sometimes have soft, we sometimes have nice, we sometimes have green pastures, but sometimes we have valleys in the shadow of death. We know that sometimes there is joy, and yet there is also heartache. Sometimes there is persecution. Sometimes there is just wonderful ease. And we struggle with this because we want comfort. We don't want difficulty. And yet we look at Jesus in his ministry and we see both. We see Jesus picking up the little children in his arms and taking them and blessing them. We see Jesus see the crowds come to him. And we see Jesus had compassion on them. And then we see Jesus turn to his disciples and he says to them, "If any would come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me." And we struggle with that. We struggle with what does Jesus mean by this, to pick up your cross and follow. I don't want the cross. I want comfort. And yet there will be both in our lives. And how do we understand comfort, and how do we understand the cross? Paul understood under inspiration as he wrote scripture, he understood the desire for comfort in our life. He also understood the cross, and he saw that there could be comfort in the cross. That God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe in him. That God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached. That God was pleased through the cross to be able to save people. Paul saw that on the cross, there was the weight of sin, there was the agony of sin, and at the cross, there's also deliverance. Paul saw that on the cross, there is suffering, and there is heartache. And there is Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there at the cross, there's also salvation. It is finished. At the cross was Paul's comfort. It was his comfort for the whole world and for himself. And that comfort in the cross is also what Martin Luther came to understand. As he dug into scripture in his life, he came to understand the centrality of the cross in the Bible, which he did not understand as a young man. He did not understand as he entered the monastery. He did not understand what that cross meant. He was scared of Jesus. He was scared of Jesus, the judge. He did not understand what the cross meant. But as scripture was unfolded before him and the Holy Spirit worked in his heart, he saw the cross was the peace that he was aching for. And when his eyes went off the cross, or when anybody's eyes would go off the cross, then the anxiety of life would come again. When he started to think about what he needed to do to get to heaven, then anxiety would build. But when the cross stood clear, then he understood that the cross, God had done everything for him, and Paul had to bring nothing to God, that Jesus had won salvation for him. Now, Martin Luther had the opportunity in his life, because of the circumstances in his life, to dig and to dive deep into Scripture. After he posted those 95 theses, he did not go into early retirement, did he? He was asked to explain his teachings and those theses. And in the months to follow, disputation in 1518, his explanation for those 95 theses, and he began to use two terms that were new. And the two terms are these: the theology of the cross and the theology of glory. And both seem great, and yet Luther came to understand that the Scripture really only teaches the theology of the cross. We cannot fully understand God. We cannot fully understand the majesty of God and who God is unless we look at the cross. That God, the mighty God, hides his power in the cross, so to speak. That in the cross, this suffering, there's actually grace and peace and joy. And that the cross helps us to understand when we are asked to carry our own crosses in life. And at its polar opposite of the theology of the cross, Luther started to expound on the theology of glory, which sounds right, which sounds appealing. And it is appealing to our own hearts. The theology of glory is this, that we shy away from the cross, that the center of our attention is not so much on the cross, but it's on me. And when the center of attention becomes on me, then I'm focused on what I need to do to be right with God. Then I start to think about my own thinking, my own reason, and how I can work my way toward God. Then I start thinking about my own happiness in life, and I start to question God when things don't go in my life the way that I think they should. Well, where is a loving God if X, Y, and Z happens in my life? Now, this is all well and good for somebody to sit down and write about these things, but it wasn't just an academic exercise for Luther, because Luther lived under the theology. Disputation, and because of what Luther wrote, because of his stand on the cross, and how could Luther not share the peace he had come to know? How can you not share that peace? Because he professed that peace of the cross, there came a cross in his life. And please understand what I mean by that. There came a cross in Luther's life does not mean that it was the cross of salvation. The cross of salvation, that is alone, that is Jesus' cross. But when Jesus talks about picking up our own cross, that means that there might be difficulties in our life. Sometimes those difficulties are just because of sin in general in our world, and pain and sickness and cancer and shootings and whatever happens in our world. But sometimes the pain of the cross is the specific cross of suffering because we carry and profess the name Jesus and we hold to his truths. Because Luther held to this truth, the leader of the church, the Pope, said that he was excommunicated out of the faith, that heaven no longer welcomed him, that he belonged in hell. And for anybody who has spiritual concerns, that's a pretty deep statement. Then came the Diet of Worms, and there Luther stood, and he made that confession that we are so proud that he made. I cannot and I will not recant. Unless you can show me from Scripture that I have done wrong, I have to follow my conscience. I will not recant. But because he made that profession, there came a cost. There came a cross. The leader of the Roman Empire Charles V, young as he was, who had all authority, said, "You are now an outlaw. You are a heretic." And because of that came the proclamation that he could be arrested after 21 days of safe passage. His writings were to be burned. They were not to be disseminated any longer. No one was to give him safe passage, and he could be put to death at any time. Luther had a friend, a person that was a position of power that protected him and had him taken to a castle where he could, in a sense, hide for a while, for weeks and months. But that isolation was heavy for Luther. And we read that there was loneliness and sleeplessness and sickness, because it seemed the human world was against him. But in those days, as he dug further into Scripture, he was reminded of the comfort of the cross. Jesus died for me. He will not let me go. And it became this compelling motive for Luther to not stay at the castle, but to go back to his people, to share what he had learned because of circumstances that were happening. He needed to profess the cross. And when he made his intentions known to go back to his people, his protectors said, "Don't come. Don't leave the castle. I will try to protect you, but I cannot promise to protect you. Your life is in danger." And Luther left the castle. And he lived for the next days and weeks and months and years under the edict, under the ban, under the threat of losing life. I don't sleep well at night if somebody gives me one bad comment after church on a Sunday. I'm a pastor. And somebody can make one comment to me after church, and I can play that in my mind over and over again that night and all week long. One negative comment. Maybe you are stronger men and women than me. I can't imagine living under the threat of what Luther lived under all those years. How did he survive? His strength was not in himself. He kept running to the cross. That's my comfort. That's my glory. It's in the cross. Finally, after 9 years, from 1521 in the Diet of Worms, finally to 1530, because the emperor was busy with all the things that were happening in the world, finally in 1530 he said, "Let us settle these spiritual matters that are happening. Let us have unity in our area again." And he called for a council. He called for everybody to come together at a place called Augsburg. And how excited Luther and his compatriots were, those who had that same profession of faith, to go to travel to Augsburg where they could defend their faith, explain their faith, and let the glory of the cross shine. And as they started to make their journey, they got so far, and Luther's protector once again stepped in and said to Luther, "Stop. You can't go to Augsburg because I can't protect you. You are still under the ban. You are still under the edict." And Luther once again went to a castle, this time the Coburg Castle. And there he sat and there he waited for days and weeks and months as the others went on to Augsburg. And that also was a cross. The angst in his heart as he wondered what would happen in Augsburg. The angst as he wondered what would happen to this profession of faith. Faith alone, grace alone, Scripture alone. What would happen? What would the others say? And he wrote letters, and we see his anxiety as people did not respond as he wanted. We see the cross came to him personally at Coburg, and the fact that his father died while at Coburg, and he was not able to travel then for the funeral. But in spite of the anxiety and the heartache and the loneliness at Coburg, we see in the many letters that Luther wrote from Coburg, we see again his attention to the cross. He writes to his protector and says to his protector, "You are doing what you are doing, and it is good because it is for the glory of Christ." He writes to those that are speaking at Augsburg, and he reminds them, "Stand on Scripture. Stand on the cross of Christ. You know what Jesus has done for you. Declare it." And those people that were at Augsburg then took on the mantle that Luther had passed to them. And they stood up And they explained and they expounded and they wrote down, this is who Jesus is. This is what Jesus has done for us. And they knew that in signing their names to that confession, the Augsburg Confession, their title could be taken from them, their land could be taken from them, and their very lives could be taken from them. Who would sign such a document if you knew that your life was going to or could be taken as you traveled home? They did. They did because they knew what Jesus had done for them, that Jesus had gone to cross for them because Jesus loved them, and signing that document was their way of saying, this is what Jesus has done for me. We want others to know of Jesus' love. Now, all these things happened more than a lifetime ago, 500 years ago. And yet the words of Jesus still come to us today, don't they? If any would come after me, let them deny himself, pick up the cross, and follow me. That part of living in this world is that there will be crosses to bear. And it is so hard to understand. Why do bad things happen to good people is the question always asked. Why do bad things happen to good people? Paul saw and Luther saw the answers in the cross. That it's not because God is an unloving God who doesn't care. God does care. And God's desire is for us to have joy and contentment. And that is why he sent his son into the world so that one day we could all live in a perfect heaven. And that while we live in this world, he will not give us burdens that are too big that we cannot bear. And that sometimes crosses might come into our life specifically because we carry the name of Christ. There are brothers and sisters in our world today that because they carry the name Christ and they make their stand for Jesus are now losing their homes and their titles and their lives. It continues to happen, and it will happen to the end of time. But for me, I've never faced that specific pressure, and maybe not for you. I wonder if I would make that stand. Sometimes we struggle in our Western world because of the subtle persecution. We live in a world that applauds people standing up for their personal beliefs, don't we? If somebody stands up for their personal beliefs, this is who I am, we applaud. How wonderful. How much applause does a person get who stands up and says, here I stand on what the Bible says today. Here I stand on what Jesus says. How many likes does that get you? How many followers? It's so much easier for me to be a under-the-radar Christian, get-along Christian, instead of a professing Christian. And that's where I stay, under the radar, until I look at the cross. And when I look at the cross, that old rugged cross, the song that many of us love to sing, then once again I see what Jesus has done for me. And I see how God covers me with that cross. He covers me with his forgiveness, his love, his mercy. And if Jesus died for me on the cross, then God has promised, I will not stop loving you. I will not stop loving you. Look at how Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. Who can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Can trouble? Can heartache? Can persecution? Can famine? Can sword? Can danger? Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And that's what gave Martin Luther, that promise of God in Scripture, gave Martin Luther the strength to bear up under the crosses he lived with in his life. And so in those dark days and in those months and years where Luther lived under the ban, no one sang Soft Kitty, Warm Kitty to him. Instead, in those months and years while under the ban, he wrote a song for comfort for himself and for others, for comfort and confidence. A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free in every need that has us now or taken. And do what they will. Hate, steal, hurt, or kill. Though all be gone, Our victory is won. The kingdom ours remaineth. I'm taking a wild guess that that will not be the theme song of any popular sitcom in the next year or two. But in the cross, there is comfort for Paul, for Luther, and for me, and for you. Thank you.